Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, August 14th. It is the middle of summer and it is hot out there. We are heading into a bit of a heat wave, and I'll talk a little bit more about that after our first segment. First we have a documentary about radio and family, very interesting, produced by one of our producers here at CJSF, Annie Roach, who does also does a show every week on Sunday, Saturday evenings at 6 o'clock, called Arts Edge. She's actually on an adventure of a lifetime right now, traveling in Europe, a fairly extended trip of Europe. So good for her, but we're going to play her documentary, it's about the role of radio and family, and at a time when radio is one of the only ways of connecting with the outside world for folks living in rural areas. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Coming up at about a little after 10:15, Ayu Sakamoto will be here giving us an artist feature on another Japanese artist that you might be interested in discovering. Then around 10:30, we have Living with Lyme, another feature there. Up at 10 o'clock is, of course, Democracy Now! And all the rest of the great programming coming up today on CJSF, including Wandering Rhythms and Typically Tuesday this afternoon. Let's get in with our documentary. This is Elaine Harder producing this documentary for CJSF.
This is London. You will now hear a statement by the Prime Minister.
I am speaking to you from the Cabinet Room, 10 Downing Street. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany. You can imagine what a bitter blow it is to me that all my long struggle to win peace has failed. Yet I cannot believe that there is anything more or anything different that I could have done and that would have been more successful. Up to the very last, it would have been quite possible to have arranged a peaceful and honorable settlement between Germany and Poland. But Hitler would not have it.
And that was the BBC reporting on Prime Minister Chamberlain's declaration of World War II. In Canada, radio began with the first licenses for private radios in 1922. And by the late 1920s, many Canadian listeners were tuning in to American radio stations. This was a catalyst that led to Canada's federal government establishing a Royal Commission to look at the future of broadcasting in Canada. By 1932, the CBC was created. And by 1939, following Chamberlain's declaration, CBC and Radio Canada sent a team of announcers and technicians to accompany the Canadian Armed Forces 1st Division to England. This was to be the first of Canada's wartime broadcast. And now let's go to a conversation I had with Marion Jorgensen, a woman who grew up on the Canadian prairies and now reflects back on the early days of radio. Marion, can you tell me about the first time that you heard radio? How old were you and what year was it?
I was about 10 years old, and it was so exciting. I had been in the hospital, and when I got home, they had this thing that talked.
With radio being both a new technology and newly available to the masses, this was to be the first war that was widely broadcasted around the world. Because of this, it was exciting to anyone who tuned in. But here at home in Canada, it was especially exciting because it kept people informed of what was going on at war and what was going on around the world. But it wasn't only coverage of the war that was so exciting and consoling for people. For the first time, listeners were experiencing entertainment coming into their homes through comedies and radio dramas and concerts. Having experienced the hardships and the depression that the Dirty 30s brought, people needed to laugh and they needed to just have some joy in their life. Aside from news coverage, it brought laughter back into the home and it helped people forget about their worries just for a little bit, even if only for that 1 hour that they were listening to Fibber McGee and Molly. When I spoke with Marion about specific programs and her favorite shows, here's what she had to say.
It was very exciting because first time I'd heard it.
Now, I know this is going back a few years. Do you remember what it was that you listened to on the radio that night?
Well, there was Fibber McGee and Molly. They had real good entertainment in those days.
Oh, I've heard some of the radio dramas and comedies. Really great stuff. Really funny. Do you remember what it was like for your parents to hear the radio for the first time?
Oh, yes. They loved it. Just the fun of having something to listen to.
And your mom, what was your mom's favorite programming?
I think it was Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh, so she liked Fibber McGee and Molly as well.
It was so funny. I always remember how we used to laugh at the things they'd put on radio.
When I spoke with you before and you told me about Fibber McGee and Molly, I went away and I found some old sound bites.
Oh.
There was a skit where Fibber McGee opened up a closet door.
Yes.
And you could hear everything falling out and hitting him and him saying, I'm going to have to clean that up one of these days. And I later found out that that was something he said for years.
Yes, he did.
Do you remember that skit?
Oh, I do remember that. That was close to my heart. It was our life in a way.
I was thinking maybe we could hear a Fibber McGee and Molly clip. What do you think?
I think that would be great.
Awesome. Here we go. Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Johnson's Wax Products for Home and Industry present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. Mr. McGee of 79 Wistful Vista has had a lot of million-dollar ideas in his time. Some of them were not so good, of course, but others were simply horrible. But he's got one now that looks like a winner. In fact, it's terrific. It's sensational. It's colossal. It's, well, it's Fibber McGee and Molly.
Are you ready?
As soon as I get my hat, dearie.
Well, hurry up, Molly. This is the most important meeting since I've been chamber of the president of Congress, president of the Chamber of Commerce. Where's my speech?
In your portfolio.
Yeah, I know, but where's my portfolio? Oh, I know. It's right here in the hall closet.
Straighten out that closet one of these days.
If you would have heard the radio when you were 10 years old, that was about 1937, is that right?
Yeah, about then.
So the war came in 1939.
Yes.
Did your family ever sit around the radio and listen to news from wartime?
Oh, yes, we certainly did. And our neighbors were from England, and they just waited for that BBC news.
So it was the BBC that you listened to, not the CBC?
No, it's BBC. See, that's British Broadcasting Corporation.
Right.
And they loved that because that was their hometown in England.
When you would hear news in 1939 and throughout World War II, did that make you look at news differently?
Oh, I'm sure it did. It had a great effect on the parents. You know, so many soldiers getting killed, and it was a sad time, really.
How did it make you see the world differently?
Well, I knew there was trouble in it, that's for sure.
Do you think that hearing about the war on the radio made it more real to you?
Oh, yes, it definitely did. You just wonder what was going on.
Because the radio was such a big news source, up until that point, you, of course, had newspapers.
Yes.
You had news of the world and entertainment through newspapers. How was the experience of radio different than getting the newspaper?
Well, we got the newspaper, we read it. Of course, we could visualize things then, too. But when the radio came in, it was live, and it was much more interesting. And I really enjoyed it.
Although television was available in a rather experimental form in the 1920s. It was after World War II that they became widely available for public consumption. And it was during the 50s that television became a primary medium for influencing public opinion. So I wondered how much TV affected the popularity of radio. So I asked Marion about this. What was it like for you when television came in? Did you find that it pushed radio aside?
Well, it did, but everybody still had their radio because they put it in the cars. And no matter where you went, you heard the radio, you know.
So how was radio different once you heard it in vehicles as opposed to your home?
Well, it certainly had more variety.
I remember you telling me once that after you had gotten the radio, it was all the talk around school.
Yes, it was. One person would tell one thing that they saw on radio, and somebody else would tell you something else. So in a way, it was kind of an education. It was our life, in a way. It opened up the world to you.
As a young girl who suddenly has all this information available, do you feel that your exposure to the radio changed how you looked at the world?
Oh, I'm sure it did. It did. It was scary, and yet it was fun because they had the comedy on so much. It was very good.
Do you think that the exposure to the information that you got, did it influence you on later decisions you made in your life and the path that you took as a young woman?
Oh, yes, I'm sure it did. I think that's where I got the idea of being a hairdresser.
What do you think it might have been about the radio that led you down the path?
Well, they would have really good programs that you almost could visualize it in your head, you know?
I've been talking with Marion Jorgensen of Vancouver, B.C., originally of McGee, Saskatchewan, a small town south of Saskatoon. We have been talking about her experiences of the first time she heard radio, how radio has played out in her life, and how radio inspired her as a young woman to leave the farm and to go out into the world. How inspiring you are, Auntie Mamie. And now I believe it is time to say goodnight. So, say goodnight, Irene.
Yeah, good night. Thanks for tuning in.
What's that song? Irene, good night, Irene. Irene,
Good night.
Good night, Irene.
I'll see you in my dream.
Good night, Irene.
Another stroll downtown.
This version of Goodnight Irene was recorded in 1950 by the Weavers. Although the origins of the song are not known, it's a song that was made famous by Lead Belly in the 1930s. This documentary was produced with the support and assistance of CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Thanks to Elaine Harder. She is the host of Arts Edge. It airs on every Saturday night at 6 p.m. here on CJSF, featuring recollections like that, but also interviews with local Vancouver and area artists and a lot more. So tune in on a Saturday evening and catch more of Elaine. She goes by her radio name, Annie Roach. With me here in the studio is Ayu, and we're going to be getting to her feature in just a moment. Who are we going to be talking about today, Ayu?
Today I will introduce a singer called Uru. Mm-hmm. She's also a Japanese artist.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah. So that's coming up in just a minute, but let's first talk about the weather. It's going to be a hot one out there all week this week. Today, highs up to 26, lows down to 17 overnight. But the forecast all week calls for clear skies and high temperatures in the upper 20s. Not quite overly, incredibly excessive. We're not getting like over 30 or anything crazy like that. But you do want to take care to stay hydrated and put on the sunscreen. But also take advantage of the nice weather and get to the beach or go for a walk or a hike or some other great outdoor activity. All right, Ayu is here to, Ayu Sakamoto is here to introduce us to Uru.
Yes, thank you. Hello everyone. Today I want to introduce to one of my favorite singers, Uru. And she's a Japanese singer-songwriter who debuted in 2016. And she has a beautiful and soothing voice. And if you're looking for emotional songs to calm and relax your heart, Uru's music is perfect for you. Let's start with her song called First Love, which was released in 2021 and became a theme song for a movie.
Thank you.
First Love by Uru. Now let me share a little more about her. As I mentioned before, Uru is a Japanese singer-songwriter who debuted in 2016, and her name is spelled U-R-U. In 2020, she received the Special Achievement Award at the 62nd Japan Record Awards. What I love about her is her soft and soothing voice. It's like silk and yet carrying depth and passion. Her songs and voice have the power to transcend language barriers and touch people's hearts. Even if you don't understand Japanese, her music can still make you feel relaxed and comfortable. I've seen many English comments on her YouTube channel expressing how her songs make them cry and provide comfort. I believe she is one of the most underrated singers, and I hope more people discover her incredible talent. Whenever you want to relax or you're feeling blue, give Ulu's music a listen. It's truly something special. So, the second song I'd like to share with you guys is called Anata ga iru koto de. It was released in 2020 and has reached 100 million views on YouTube.
Hey.